Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning. It is March 20th, 5:30 a.m. Central Time as I speak. The grain markets are mixed here this morning. Joe's on vacation the rest of the week, so I have Matt Bennett joining me here this morning. To start with, U.S. agriculture groups have applied for millions of dollars in an effort to regain global markets. Last year, the USDA announced a $1.3 billion regional agricultural promotion program. The five-year program aims to assist the industry in expanding and diversifying new global markets for U.S. crops. A USDA official stated that the program is geared towards opening up new markets in Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. During the most recent round of applications, the USDA received requests for more than $900 million in aid. Over the last decade, Brazil has surpassed the U.S. as the world's top soybean and corn exporter. Russia has also overtaken the U.S. as the global leader in wheat exports. So, are these government funds the answer to expanding global markets for the U.S. grains?
No, they're not. And quite frankly, you know, the way I look at this, okay, is that we are going to lose global market share. And I'm not trying to be negative about this. Just looking simplistically, we are losing, tillable farm ground here in the U.S. There is a huge push, of course, for renewable energy. I've always said that someone that wants to do that, I can't fault them. There's no way to duplicate the kind of money that is being thrown at these projects for producers. So when you look at this, Brazil's expanding acreage on a yearly basis, first of all. Second of all, it seems their government is able to act a whole lot quicker than the U.S. government to promote agriculture, which is the backbone of their economy. And so being able to compete against them is going to be pretty tough to do. A lot of this, of course, has to do with the dollar whenever you're trying to put products out on the world market. But two straight years, you've seen the Brazilians number one in corn exports. Bean exports has been something they've enjoyed longer than that. But 2 years in a row, both corn and bean exports, they've been number one in the world. So losing global market share has got a whole lot more to do with policies, the dollar. If you want to throw some money at stuff, go right ahead. I don't think that we're going to gain global market share anytime soon without some sort of a plummet in the U.S. dollar to make our products cheaper out on the world market.
On to some weather. Rain is forecast across the U.S. Corn Belt. A prolonged drought has affected large portions of Missouri, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. Drought conditions have also impacted parts of Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois, and North Dakota. The forecast is calling for widespread precipitation across these areas from Sunday through Tuesday of this coming week. Some areas could receive upwards of 3 inches of rain. It is important to remember, however, that these weather forecasts can quickly change. As you know, drought has plagued a lot of the Corn Belt. What do you feel that this possible rain event, what could it do for the markets if it does come to fruition?
Well, you know, a couple things. First of all, I think, there's for good reason, a lot of angst with how dry it is. For instance, in Iowa and Minnesota, and you look at that map that you've got up there right now, and precisely, those are two areas that are going to be blessed with abundance of rain if that happens, if this does come to pass. And so you're not going to fix your drought in one rain by any stretch of the imagination. But a lot of times, once you're able to start getting some rain, it rain begets rain, you know. So there's a chance that you could start to see some follow-up moisture. But Kinsey, this isn't really the time of year that we want to see a whole lot of moisture. Moisture's good. I don't ever want to chase it away. I've said this a lot lately, though, because I've been asked this same line of questioning. You know, I think most producers would rather plant into a very dry situation where they've got uniform soil moisture and they're able to get the crop up going on a uniform level. Emergence, every plant comes up the same day. You've got a chance for better yields. And I think fighting moisture this spring isn't what most people would prefer. I think they'd rather go ahead and plant with the kind of conditions that we've had lately and then pray for rain later. But you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. So we'll see what this moisture does. I think it will maybe ease some of the fears of the drought talk that we continue to hear, especially regionally. But at the same time, I don't want to see a wet spring. I sure hope we don't. I sure hope that's not what we get.
Right. So the outlook for Brazilian soybean exports during March has increased. According to Brazilian grain export lobby ANEC, Brazil's soybean exports are expected to reach 14 million tons this month, up 2.1% from last week's forecast. Soy meal exports are projected at 2.13 million tons, down 3.6%. Corn exports are expected to reach 134,430 metric tons, down 8.2% from the prior forecast. And wheat exports are seen reaching 714,894 metric tons, up almost 3% from last week's estimate. So we continue to hear that Brazil is dealing with hot, dry conditions. How do you see that scenario impacting Brazilian grain exports?
It's going to be kind of interesting to see. I think the first place I go whenever I'm looking at the export situation is, you know, what's the values? I mean, freight on board, freight included. Right now, the U.S. is completely out of bean export market. Argentina and Brazil both are running levels that are much below what we're talking. I'm talking like $35 to $40 a metric ton. So I don't see U.S. exports being too salty. Brazilian exports are going to stay fairly good. Obviously, they're right in the middle of a harvest situation to where they've got a readily available supply. Yes, it's on the warmer and drier side. Some of the first crop beans, most of them have been harvested at this point, and most of your safrinha crop is being either planted or in some stage of development. So I don't see it impacting them, a warmer, drier period. You know, as far as their corn goes, U.S. corn's actually cheaper than Brazilian corn freight on board. And so I've got to assume that U.S. exports are going to stay fairly good. I think the main thing, Kenzie, to watch as far as Brazilian weather moving forward is, does this safrinha crop get blessed, you know, to where they can stay such a strong exporter of world corn? I've said this all winter. I think actually U.S. exports might outdo what the USDA is currently projecting if the safrinha crop's a bust. And right now, they certainly are having their issues with weather.
The EU is planning to implement tariffs on grain imports from Russia and Belarus. The tariffs are being imposed at a time when EU farmers are calling for changes to the rules imposed on them by the Green Deal. Farmers are also demanding that tariffs be reimposed on agricultural products from Ukraine. As we can all remember, tariffs on Ukraine were waived after Russia's invasion back in 2022. Grain imports from Russia and Belarus are minimal compared to Ukrainian imports. As of the end of February, the EU had imported 1.8 million tons of Russian grain and oilseed so far this season. EU imports from Ukraine during that same time totaled 19.1 million tons. The tariffs are considered a symbolic move and aren't expected to impact trade or grain prices. Do you think these tariffs are going to appease EU farmers? And at the end of the day, they are a symbolic move, but what is the point of going through even imposing them if they're not going to have really any impact?
A politician feeling like they're doing something. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. In all honesty, one of the last sentences you said there, which was part of the press release, is that they're essentially not going to impact anything. And so I don't know. I mean, I'll just say this. What has really jacked the wheat market up over the last several weeks has been Russia putting cheap wheat out on the world market. It's made it kind of tough, if you will, to look at, for instance, a global situation where it's a little bit tighter and stocks use is tighter than what we typically have seen in the past. You know, to be able to get this wheat market actually fired up and excited about anything, because anytime you get any sort of a rally, Russia's putting cheap wheat out on the market. So I don't know. I don't know what the whole exercise is here. Is it going to appease farmers? I mean, here's the thing. If you say, hey, we're going to slap tariffs on them, but we're going to keep going to them for cheap wheat, I don't know what you're accomplishing, quite frankly. And so I guess I'm scratching my head on this one just a little bit.
Right. So the Federal Reserve is expected to maintain its current policy outlook today. At the conclusion of the Fed's meeting later today, experts believe the Fed will reaffirm their plan for 3 rate cuts this year. Fed officials have made it clear in recent weeks that there is no chance rates will be reduced this week. Investors are awaiting the Fed's updated dot plot, which will reveal anticipated rates for the rest of the year and into 2026 and beyond. The December plot showed 3 cuts this year, 4 in 2025, 3 in 2026, and 2 thereafter. That would bring the federal funds rate down to about 2.5%, a rate that the Fed considers neutral. So with recent inflation data coming in hotter than expected, specifically February CPI and PPI data, do you think the Fed can stay on course for 3 rate cuts this year?
I think that that seems maybe a little bit optimistic in the outlook, I guess. I mean, you know, inflation has not gone away. I know people will argue this till the death. I mean, it seems like a political discussion, but it's slowed, but we still have inflation. I mean, anybody who says it's cheap to go to the grocery store, you know, hasn't gone to the grocery store. And so, you know, inflation is still a very real thing. I mean, I think moving forward, yes, there's probably going to be a rate cut or two. It's an election year. I cannot imagine that you're not going to go ahead and get these rate cuts. They've promised them. They've talked about them. But at the end of the day, I don't expect 3 rate cuts, I guess, would be the easiest way. Now, I'm not sitting in that chair. I guess I don't know enough about it. But bottom line is, whenever you continue to see, you know, inflation where it's at, when you continue to see the run in the Dow, to me, I've got to think that 2 rate cuts is probably where we're going to land between now and the election. But I could be wrong.
Right. So the S&P set a new record high on Tuesday with a 0.6% rise. The benchmark index closed at 5,178.5, marking its 18th record close of the year. The Dow Jones increased 0.8% and the Nasdaq gained 0.4%. Wall Street is eagerly anticipating the Federal Reserve's policy announcement today. The announcement will likely reveal if increased inflation concerns will alter the number of rate cuts this year. As we just talked about, the Fed signaled back in December that they will cut rates 3 times this year. The stock market has definitely had one heck of a run. Do you think we're going to continue to see that run?
That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I'm more of a seller than a buyer at these sorts of levels here. You know, as I try to analyze this, I feel like this is kind of a house of cards. I mean, we've printed so much money over the last several years that, you know, I feel like at some point our economy could definitely have, you know, one of these deals where, hey, we've kind of flirted around with the recession, but I think we could go into something, you know, that could be even tougher if we continue to kick the can down the road, so to speak. You know, every time we need more money, we figure out a way to, you know, to do some quantitative easing. And I just don't know that we're on the right path. You look at how much our debt is growing versus what the GDP is growing. It's concerning to me. But at the same time, obviously, if you've got money invested in the stock market, it's treated you very nicely. I just think that a maybe a little more risk-averse approach as you get farther into this election cycle might not be a bad idea. In my opinion, I think we need to be a little more cautious because I think you could see some really crazy stuff happen between now and November.
So cattle futures were mixed on Tuesday. Feeders were down 52 cents to up $1.07. Live cattle were down 52 cents to 40 cents higher. Boxed beef was little unchanged. Choice ended the day at 313.22. That was down 11 cents. Select ended the day at 303.18. That was up 13 cents. We have a cattle on feed report coming out at the end of this week. They're saying placements could be right around 106% of last year. What are your thoughts on that report coming out?
Yeah, I mean, what I think is that the report that we got last month wasn't near as bullish as what people thought. I mean, obviously, the weather affected placements, cattle on feed, not so much. But this month, you've got to think that placements are going to be much greater. I mean, we were, 92 this last month, and so, and change, I believe, 92 or 93. And so people were expecting they could have even been in the 80s. You know, and so I feel like you've got to get out past this cattle on feed report to maybe unearth some of the really bullish folks. I think that you get into next month's cattle on feed report, we're going to start seeing the direction that we're going to be going. But Kinsey, there is no way in God's creation that September through December, you're going to have cattle on feed reports anywhere approaching 100, given how crazy high they were last year. And I think everyone knows that. It's just a matter of what are people going to do, to what lengths are they going to go to maybe try to participate in some of the bullishness, because fundamentally speaking, this is an extremely bullish situation. People already know it, though. It's a known fact. It's a known commodity. So, you know, I don't think that the market's going to necessarily fall off because of a bullish number this month, because of the conditions behind it. So it'd be very interesting moving forward. I'm still of the opinion we got to protect ourselves in the high 180s, you know, and then if we want to let the upside run, there's so many different things we can do to let that happen.
Right. Well, thank you for joining me here this morning, Matt. That is all we have for you guys today. We will chat with you tomorrow.